Don't think I don't see that you started it.
No, I know I started it.
Whatever. You were trying to trick me.
No. I was trying to start it and then get comfortable. So, my understanding is that you're drunk and confused.
I'm not drunk.
Just confused?
I am confused. Batman comics have a way of doing that to me.
Yeah. I did have one thing that I jotted down, and I was gonna talk about how I've been reading a lot of comics lately, a lot of Batman comics.
You have?
I have.
How about we have?
Well, we have, but that's where the question is. How much Batman comics have you been reading because I've been reading Batman comics, and how much Batman comics have you been reading because you like Batman comics?
Both and. Can it not be that?
Well, I understand that it started because of me, but if I was to say I'm done reading Batman comics, I don't like Batman anymore,
I would be done.
You'd be done as well?
I don't think I would. I would get them on my own.
Really?
Really.
Would you keep reading the stack that we have? The 2-foot stack? Yeah.
Probably.
You wouldn't want them to go to waste.
No. I don't think I would just flat out return them. But I don't think I would seek them out.
Well, why aren't you reading something you'd seek out instead?
Oh, because I'm enjoying it tremendously, but I don't think I would seek it out if you weren't putting all the legwork.
I have put a lot of legwork.
How many do we have? How many has been in the stacks at this point? Like 36?
At least.
You should keep track.
I think, well, we'll have to. Do you know if our, does our library save, like, rental history? I know Netflix does, and that's depressing to look at once in a while.
Yeah, our library is probably not up to Netflix standard.
I think they just released a new website. It's nearly as bad as the last one.
Yeah. Well, you have to think. I mean, the employees of the library are little old ladies. Think about how bad your mom is with computers.
It's true, but they're not the ones making the website. It's the same.
How do you know?
Because little old ladies don't make websites.
But the website is bad. So it could be done by little old ladies.
No, it's some big corporate .NET Enterprise Library Edition.
I don't know. It's pretty bad.
But their catalog's not bad. We've had very good luck with finding comic books there.
It's been really fun. I have to admit.
But I'm afraid we've probably got like 2 more binge week sessions like this before we're down to the dregs.
You think? I don't know.
Well,
there seems to be a rather copious canon for Batman.
I haven't actually managed to click through all 20 pages worth of search results.
By the way, can I just say I'm thankful that I have had some to drink tonight, because otherwise I would be extremely self-conscious about my voice. And I would probably try to make it sound less than normal. And that would be bad.
It's quite possible.
I hate my voice on tape. It's awful.
Well, and speaking of your voice, this is probably a good time to introduce both my guest and, I suppose, myself. My name's Jonathan Fry, and I'm speaking with my lovely co-host, Gabby Fry. Are you going to go by Gabby for this, or Gabriella?
I will probably just go by Gabby.
Gabby.
Am I only your guest? Or am I your co-host?
No, co-host, unless I can find other ladies to lay on this one time with me. Okay, co-host it is.
You already eyeballed the comic ladies. I can't have you eyeballing.
No, I eyeballed the comic lady's dress and made a comment that it is an oversight that you do not have a similar dress.
That's true. She did look like me. Mm-hmm.
See, I think one of the reasons a lot of women don't read comic books is they feel that that the comic books maybe have like an objectified view of women or an unattainable look. But we've come across at least 2 books now where we've found characters that have an almost uncanny resemblance to you.
Well, it's fortunate for you. Clearly you did well.
or I just pick out comic books that portray the type of women that I like.
I am not your type, though.
No, not a bit.
How did this happen? Although I shared a bit on Facebook about our origins in our infancy of relationship with the You Hang Up First video.
Yeah, you said infancy. 2005, was that the first birthday we celebrated? Or the first time I celebrated a birthday for you?
2005. We started dating in February of 2005. So September of 2005 was our
we'd gone through the first summer break.
Yes.
And then got back together.
But it was still an infancy. I still blushed. Yeah.
Oh, and
I still giggled.
You blushed and giggled. And just a little bit of background for this, for those of you who aren't following Gabby's every move on Facebook, she shared a video of a song that I had written for her for her birthday. What age was that? 20? 19?
18? I believe 19? I turned 21 that birthday. 2005. 21.
Sweet 16?
Sweet 16.
Something like that. But it was a song called You Hang Up First, and it was a compilation of cheesy relationship cliches that were basically our relationship up to that point.
Our relationship was not cheesy.
Well, I'm saying, but it was our relationship told through the cheesy cliches.
I don't know. I specifically went out and purchased the Book of Questions so that we could have refined philosophical conversations when we were apart.
Did that work?
I would ask you questions like, if you had the power to kill somebody, would you? And not, what is your favorite color? I think the first is a better question.
It is a better question.
It gave me insight into your character.
Kind of like the black box video.
I remember another question was, if you were a house, what kind of house would you be?
I think I answered glass house, and then you called me a liar because I'm about as opaque as.
As they come. You are not transparent. Although, I have worn you down. You were much more opaque when I first met you.
Yeah, well that's because when I first met you, I wouldn't talk to you.
You wouldn't look me in the eye for like the first year of our dating. You would like maybe make eye contact with me for a couple of seconds.
And then the first year?
And then you would drift off in another direction.
Oh, but honey, you are overwhelming.
Aww. I don't know how much I believe that. Were you overwhelmed by me?
It's overwhelmed. Does that work?
So overwhelmed.
It works as well as the song did.
Yeah, well, I am trying to get Jonathan to return to his roots of wooage. Wooage? Does that work?
Of wooing me.
And so, dear audience, I will ask you to help me keep him accountable because we will be celebrating 5 years of blissful wedded bliss in 2013, July 2013 to be specific. So I know you have plenty of time. I have asked that Jonathan do a sequel to our first year of dating. His gift to me was a book of 365 reasons that he compiled, 365 reasons why he loves me. And since then, I've been asking for a sequel. So it's been 7 years since that first book.
7 years. I made the mistake of titling the book The First 365 Reasons Why I Love You.
That was your mistake.
Well, in hindsight.
Your beautiful, beautiful mistake that leaves such room for more reasons why you love me. So. But really, at this point, after 4 years of marriage, if you can't come up with another 365 reasons why you love me.
No, and I have started the project. I think I'm like 9 in, and most of them are jokes.
So, no! Actually,
I think most of the original 365 were jokes.
They were not. They were romantic and beautiful. And you not only had a reason why you loved me, but you had an explanation.
They were all double entendre.
It was wonderful.
You interpreted the sweetness, and when I look back at it, I can chuckle at the humor.
Excuse me. There were a couple of those, too. There are a couple that were not double entendre, that were very clear in their intention. Mm-hmm. But only in their first year of dating intention.
That's true.
Let's not give any indications to the contrary.
There's been a lot of talk this week about a product that's being released soon. So that an
on iPhone, Friday.
If you could share your thoughts on that device.
I have no thoughts on that device. What device? Is there a device coming out on Friday? At 7 o'clock in the morning? That we will be lined up for? I don't know about this device.
I'm the tech geek of the family, I think. But as excited as I am to
considering own my first that iPhone, I had a cell phone before you did. For like years before you did. I got my first cell phone when I was 16. How old were you?
22, 21?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Who's the techno geek now?
Yeah, but I'm older.
Aww. Old Jonathan.
They didn't have cell phones when I was a kid. They were the
newfangled
the Wall Street brick phone.
Aww. No, I'm very excited. I think it will change my life considering my BlackBerry could probably have been replaced 10 months ago. But granted, for a little bit more backstory, we have two boys. We have a 7-month-old and a 3.5-year-old. And the fact that my phone has survived both boys is saying a lot.
It is.
My phone has done pretty well. Because our 3.5-year-old loves to take pictures with it. He likes to call people with it. And if I don't immediately understand that he's talking to me through his finger, like, you know, when you hold up your thumb and your pinky and you talk to somebody, if I don't immediately pick up my phone and talk to him through it, I've committed a grave error. He demands that I talk to him. He's like, no, Mama, you're not talking on your phone. You need to talk on your phone. So me holding up my finger and pinky is not good enough. I have to go locate my phone and use that to talk to him.
That's a little unfair. So he gets a pretend phone, but you need a real one?
No, I need a real phone. And then it usually ends up being chucked across the room. So, yeah, the fact that my phone has survived is pretty magnificent. Thanks, BlackBerry.
Are you anticipating different rules with the iPhone?
Yeah,
pretty
much.
As far as the chuckage goes?
Although, I probably will invest in a skin of some sort. Whether it's the otter skin or something else.
Otter skin. I think otters are endangered. I'm not sure you're allowed to skin them.
It will be glorious. No? I think I can make this work for me.
So we are planning on going to stand in line on Friday morning to
with
get these
both
phones.
Boys.
And I've decided to take a vacation day and reserve it in front with my boss that the reason I'm taking this vacation.
Did he say anything to you?
I think he was very understanding.
Aww. Was he wishing that he could go too?
Probably. But
did you offer to get him one?
I did not. was that a faux pas, do you think?
I think so. You should have at least offered.
Oh boy. Okay.
But he probably was expecting it. You've dug yourself into a hole at this point.
I know. But
sorry, Matt. Matt? That's right. Okay, good.
But actually, that was going to be another question. What do you think the merits of bringing kids to early morning stand in line outside of an Apple store to get an iPhone? Do you think
our boys would charm everybody. We'll probably get tons of free stuff. They'll probably be like, please, please take this free stuff. Your boys are adorable. Mm-hmm. Matthew already got two free shirts at that one basketball game, remember? Like, the cheerleaders, like, specifically came over to give him free stuff. So I'm sure we will get free stuff.
They may have been coming over to me.
They paid attention to Matthew.
Well, Matthew was an excuse.
Well. Okay. But you don't get free stuff.
No. You get a lot of free stuff, though.
That's because I'm cute.
And have something memorable.
I do. I'm memorable. I stick in people's memories. But no, our kids are going to be more technologically savvy than we are, so we may as well start them early.
True. Yeah, the older one especially is touch devices are natural to him.
All right, we're going to have to give our kids nicknames. We don't have to say their names out loud, but the baby needs to be Love Bug. What will the big one be?
Are you tempting to
Hyena?
are you attempting to protect their identities or
cheetah?
Do you have some other reason?
Well, no, it's just a lot of the mommy blogs that I read, a lot of times they don't name the children. Well, obviously the children have names, but they refer to them only by a cutesy nickname.
Are you sure they don't name their children?
I suppose they could be the cutesy nickname. But that seems to me
You'd think, but there's kind of seems to be a little bit of a popular trend of cutesy nicknames being the actual names of the kids.
That's true.
Okay, so you want the little one to be Lovebug and the older one to be Hyena?
No, we don't have to name him Hyena.
Yeah, I was going to say both of those are pretty horrible.
Oh, Lovebug is not horrible.
Is it a girl?
It's not.
No, they're
He
two
is
boys.
Beautiful. Although my sister was laughing at me last night because I refer to them as my angels, and she said that was a girly name. But how many girl angels do you know? I can only think
I
of three archangels.
Michael the Archangel, Raphael the Archangel.
Yeah, exactly.
Gabriel the Archangel.
Exactly. Seriously now, what little frou-frou girly angel do you know?
Susie Q the non-archangel? No.
Really? You just dropped a Disney movie on me?
Is that a Disney movie?
I'm pretty positive. Susie Q?
Yeah. Apparently in my attempt to make up something on the spot, I landed on a cultural landmark that I am unaware of.
Whatever, don't even pretend. You've probably seen it.
Alright, well, we will look it up later.
Well, what nicknames do you suggest for our technologically savvy boys? I mean, even Daniel. He can get my phone out of the unlock set. The lock set.
So much for anonymity for the younger one. He can unlock your cell phone or unlock your Kindle.
No, not my Kindle.
Oh, I was going to say, that's password protected, so.
Yeah, I know. He can unlock my phone, my cell phone.
Yeah.
Although I'm sure it's by pressing random buttons. I don't think he does it on purpose.
The 7-month-old is also enamored with the iPad as well. Doesn't ask for it by name, but if I'm doing anything on it, he is ready to lick the screen.
Drool on it a little.
Yeah.
Little Drippy. Oh, we could call him Little Drippy.
Little Drippy. Okay, so we have Little Drippy for the younger one.
No, let's not do it.
Whose name you've already dropped, and I'll have to go out and bleep it out. And
well, if you wouldn't have drawn attention to the fact, maybe it would have just slipped by unnoticed.
So.
I'm not trying to hide their identities. I just think it's fun when there is a nickname that they're referred to as.
Hmm. Do you have examples of these from the mommy blogs?
Not that I can think of. I mean, you know mommy blogs. They're going to be ridiculous. I think there's one where the older one is Pumpkin and the younger one is Hyena.
Those sound like real names.
Pumpkin. I think Pumpkin is the name of Rush Limbaugh's cat.
That's Pumpkin. But it's not spelled like
Pumpkin.
Pumpkin.
He says Pumpkin. But it's Pumpkin. He just pronounces it in an odd fashion.
I think he spells it that way as well.
Does he?
I think so.
But it's still Pumpkin. It's just Pumpkin. I love Rush Limbaugh. Don't knock on his cat. He loves that cat. He took it to the doctor and everything. He held its paw while it was sick. That's love. That's devotion. We don't even have a cat. Or any pet. Not for my lack of trying.
Let's dig into that a little bit. what pet is this that you want to have?
A puppy.
A puppy. What sort?
A small one.
One that stays small?
One that stays small, unlike our boys. We get bigger by the day. No, but you need to tell the story about when I last really craved a puppy.
The last time that Gabby really, really wanted a puppy and was dangerously close to wearing me down to the point of visiting.
Dangerously close to having one when you came home from work.
Okay. I didn't realize it was that treacherous at the time. And don't mistake me either. I like dogs as well. I like other people's dogs a lot.
Just like you like other people's pools and other people's boats.
Yes. I believe she was 8 months pregnant at the time.
So Jonathan was very fond of telling me, Gabby, the puppy is in your belly. We're having a puppy already.
And was starting to exhibit nesting qualities that she was unable to do the type of nurturing and care that she so wanted to do. So she wanted to get a Pomeranian or a
terrier. Oh, would you have embraced one? Pomeranian. No, they're so cute.
See, my problem is that I would embrace any dog that showed up at our doorstep.
But Jonathan, you would love to have a cat, if not for my allergies. So a small dog would be somewhat like a cat.
No, there's what if
it was
no
the size?
Similarity.
It was the size of a cat. It would like drape itself upon your lap and crave attention. Well, there's the cat would never crave attention. Although your family has cats that crave attention.
There's no similarity between a cat and a dog, even ones
that's because cats are condescending.
No, they're just better than you.
Yeah, who wants a pet that you have to convince to love you? Forget that. I want a pet that will shower me with love and affection.
You don't have to convince a cat to love you. A cat will never love you.
Some cats will love you. They may not save you from a burning building.
Some cats will use you. They will use affection for their own ends. And you'll be part of their scheme. And then they'll kill you.
And eat you. Mm. Remind me why you want cats again. Because they snuggle with you while they're using you?
No. I like to associate myself with superior beings.
You can associate with me.
I do.
No, I have a terrible cat allergy. It's not going to happen. Not anytime soon.
You get one of the bald cats.
You want me to have nightmares?
And daymares.
Seriously. No, I have a phobia. I have a terrible phobia. And I told Jonathan this was a deal breaker when we first got married. I have a terrible phobia of being watched while I sleep. So when I was younger and I was living at home in my parents' home, I would have paranoid moments where I thought that there was somebody else standing outside my window, like staring in at me. And so I told Jonathan when we got married that he could never watch me sleep. It is not romantic in my mind. If I were to open my eyes and a couple feet from me would be Jonathan staring at me, I would probably punch him in the nose. It is slightly disturbing to me. The thought of being watched. Ooh, while I'm sleeping. Oof. Not favorite.
Hmm.
So imagine how it would escalate if not only do I open my eyes to feel somebody watching me, but it's this
saggy kitten.
Disgusting, nasty creature. Yeah. It would get punched in the face.
I don't know if you've ever seen those kinds of cats as kittens. Because they're decidedly not cute as adults.
That's because something that ugly could not be a kitten. Because kittens are inherently cute. And that creature would never be cute. So it's a paradox.
They more likely just spring forth from the...
From the dregs of the earth. Seriously.
Don't know if you use
or in the words of our fabulous vice president, literally.
Literally?
Literally.
Literally from the dregs of the earth.
Literally from the dregs of the earth.
That you brewed in your teapot?
Literally. I think they would spring from the bowels. Maybe the bowels of the earth, not the dregs, the bowels.
I was about to call you out on a misuse of the word dregs.
Although the dregs might work as well, because the dregs are the nasty, nasty that's left behind after you brew a delicious cup of coffee. You get rid of the... No, there's dregs for coffee, too.
There's grounds for coffee.
Yeah, but if they're in your coffee cup and there's a little bit left, they refer to it as the dregs of the coffee as well.
And by they, you mean the people that don't know the difference between dregs and grounds?
It could be. Perhaps I've been misled. But not my own fault.
By the people that...
By the people that were confused. They were mistaken.
Glad we established who they is in that.
I know. This is important that I am not at fault. Let it be known. I am not at fault in this situation.
They zero, Gabby one.
Although, this is a good segue into a fun feature that we hope to have as part of this podcast. I like to use big words in my vocabulary, and occasionally Jonathan will think mistakenly that I use these words incorrectly. For example, last night I busted out with
verisimilitude.
Well, that wasn't the first one. What was the first one that I used? Verisimilitude was the second one. Sardonic. I dropped the bomb of sardonic on Jonathan, and he immediately called BS and was shortly proven wrong.
And
he basked in the glow of my brilliance.
And then you used verisimilitude, which it turned out that you used it correctly by its definition, but the sentence you used it in became redundant.
Yes. But I was also using it to be funny.
Oh. Okay, well, as long as you were wrong being funny.
I was not wrong, really. I was redundant. I was tautological.
You used that correctly.
Yes. That's score 3 for me. Mm. And 0 for you.
And so we will be keeping track of these. And for you keeping score at home, we will make sure that we update the scores periodically.
But now, see, what's to keep me from purposefully picking out a large word and slipping it correctly into context?
That's what you already do.
That's not true. I pull these out of the vast stores of my knowledge.
Miss SAT, yeah, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, when...
So when you use them wrong, that's guessing C?
Everybody guesses C at some point or another. It's the most popular choice. When in doubt, circle C.
You
like the copyright symbol.
You circle it, it's not going to pick up on the Scantron. You got to scribble in the whole circle.
Fill in the bubble.
Oh my goodness.
Has it been a long time since you thought about filling in the bubble?
I've probably done it more recently than you, but...
Yeah, but see, you didn't take the SAT, did you?
No, I didn't.
No, you took the ACT.
I did the ACT.
I never took the ACT.
I did the ACT.
So when our powers combine.
And got a good score, and then I did it again and got a bad score, and then applied for college, and they didn't look at my score.
Nice.
So.
What's a good score for the ACT?
Let's not talk about numbers on this show because... It is going to introduce an inherent bias between your perspective and mine.
Well, no. I don't have any idea what a good SAT score is at this point because they went and changed it since I graduated.
Okay. Well, a perfect score is still good.
Wow. That's true. But there's more elements to the exam now. What do you keep looking at?
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
Something. There's lots of things to be looked at.
That's true. We happen to be in our library, in our apartment.
Don't say library so snootily.
Library. Where Jeeves brings us brandy in the evening, and we recline with our selection of philosophy and literature.
It's the room that doesn't have a bed in it.
Yeah. Our futon broke, so we don't have a futon in here anymore. We have one chair, which is not conducive to reading in here together at night. Jonathan likes to come in here and read, but the only other thing is my piano bench, so that's just not going to happen. You have your man chair from IKEA, and I have the piano bench, or the floor. And then Jonathan was like, let's just strew cushions all over the place, and pillows. It'll be very feng shui. And I was like, no. Not going to happen. Well, it'll just be mess.
Because I realized it's not a harem without a harem.
Well, no, and not just that. We could have a harem in here, I mean, but feng shui is not just throwing pillows around. There has to be there's a philosophy behind feng shui. You don't just scatter things randomly.
I think we have our show title.
Feng shui?
No, feng shui is not just throwing the cushions around.
Work in progress. Maybe we can come up with a couple of options and put it to the put it to the world.
Excuse me, not show title, episode title.
Ah. Feng Shui is not just scattering couch cushions around. It works for me. Or we could throw in some G.K. Chesterton and have it be the outline of sanity. Because we're kind of introducing ourselves and breaking down what we're all about.
Which part of this was sanity?
Definitely none of my contribution. I've had a couple glasses of wine, so I'm basically I'm going to listen to this before I allow you to put it anywhere on the internet.
Not loud. That would defeat the whole purpose of the exercise.
I suppose that's true. Have I used my fake voice at any point?
No, this is probably the first time that your voice has been interpreted by an electronic recording device, that you don't sound like you know you're being recorded by an electronic recording device.
I don't even know if I could mimic it.
Try.
I'm trying to think of how... Well, Jonathan.
That's a start.
If I have to say what I'm really feeling at this point, I would have to say that I am so honored to be here right now.
That's it.
And I'm so delighted to be a part of this project that is going to capture hearts throughout America. I am so blessed and honored that you have chosen me to be a part of this. See, I don't sound unlike myself. I'm just very conscious of my diction.
If we listen to any of your interviews or that video.
No, that video is terrible. I'm so not pretentious. I'm just conscious of being videotaped. And I was a baby. I was a baby in that video.
We'll make sure both the videos are in the show notes.
No. Oh my gosh. And everybody talks to me about seeing me on EWTN in that stupid interview. Oh.
Hey, claim to fame, right?
No. There's just one moment where they have me like, no, I'm not kneeling, thank God. I'm sitting on a bench in the port and I'm praying a rosary.
This is at our university in Ohio.
And I'm sitting there. And you can just see how intently, how fervently I'm praying. But I'm really just trying not to open my eyes and look at the camera. That's really all that I was doing in that moment.
I suppose, though, that it's a good thing to be embarrassed by former work. Even former work that you're proud of.
No, I have actually a very good example of this. I have a recording of myself probably from my senior year of high school, singing the national anthem and God Bless America. And it's horrible. I couldn't listen to more than a few seconds of it. I was mortified.
But at the time?
I thought it was glorious. I thought it was the pinnacle of my vocal achievement.
So a good measure of success then is to be embarrassed by former work.
Yes. Quite. But not the 365 reasons. That is a pinnacle of your romantical achievement.
You know, I should go back and read that.
There's only one copy. We could read it on the air. I could share parts of it.
That might be appropriate, because I think doing a full reading of all 365 reasons would be a little bit overwhelming.
I could read it in my fake voice.
And I could read it in my college student poet who's using his artistic influences to woo a certain lady. It was effective. Just glad I got to drop that whole act.
But it took a while. Even though it was effective, it still took 3 more years for you to convince me to marry you.
Yeah, but it worked.
It did.
Wasn't in a rush.
High five. Jonathan hates high fives, by the way. So just the fact that you heard an audible high five is saying a lot.
That wasn't very audible. I don't think I saw the sound spike there.
Was that what you're looking at?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Just to make sure that we're keeping the volume levels. I do tend to speak kind of loud.
Yeah. Well, You've only had two, so.
Two spikes?
Two glasses of wine.
Oh, okay.
It's anything beyond that that the volume starts to increase.
Oh, it's so true. By the way, big 2-7 this week.
Wow. Said that on mic?
Well, I had somebody tell me today that I was a baby because of it, so I'm feeling pretty good.
Oh, well, that's good.
It's all in your perspective, right?
How old was the person that considered you a baby?
No, I can't share that.
Can you...
Just older.
...share the same generation? Different generation?
Same generation.
Wow. That's good, I suppose.
You never reveal other people's ages. You just reveal your own. I am very confident. I'm in the prime of my life right now.
How many more birthdays do you think you will not have to lie about your age? Or will you...
I will never lie about my age. Lying about your age is a sign of insecurity and weakness, and you should be destroyed. The oatmeal taught me that.
Hmm.
Did you see that one? That was a fabulous one.
It was, actually.
If you say that you are... If you were really 5 and you say that you're 5 and a half, you sound like a baby. If you're 25 and you say anything other than 25, then you just sound... You sound old. Or it was something like that, but it was really good.
Oh, I think I remember it now. I'll try to make sure it's in the show notes as well. But if you're 5 and a half and say you're 5 and a half, it's okay. 25 and say you're 25, you're okay. If you're any other age and go, teehee, I'm not telling, then you're insecure and flawed.
No, you just sound old.
Or you just sound old. Or punchlines are better delivered by the original comic and Matthew Einman's intent than us trying to recall from memory late at night.
Yeah, it was good. So I'm gonna be upfront and honest about my age.
You're never gonna say teehee, I'll never tell?
No. Because I hope to accomplish so much in every year so that I can be proud of what I've accomplished at how old I am.
Mm-hmm. You have accomplished some extraordinary things so far. And I think this next year is gonna be the best yet.
I think so too. Happy birthday to me.
Yay. Hey. Happy birthday, girl.
Hey, girl.